If you have your Bibles with you, or if you want to just read along, I want to start off with the scripture that the Lord gave me for this service, and then actually got an email from a friend of mine that actually confirmed that this was what the Lord wanted me to do tonight, so I just love it when God confirms things. It's Mark 4, verse 35. How many of you feel like you've been in the crossing over stage for about 10 years now? Anybody other than me? Okay. Jesus said to them, "Let us cross over to the other side." Now when they had left the multitude, they took Jesus along in the boat as he was. And other little boats were also with him. And a great windstorm arose, and the waves beat into the boat so that it was already filling. But Jesus was in the stern asleep on a pillow. And they awoke him and said to him, "Teacher, don't you care? Don't you feel like saying that to Jesus sometimes? Don't you care? This mess I'm in, that we are perishing." Then he arose and rebuked the wind and the sea and said to the sea, "Peace, be still." And the wind ceased and there was a great calm. But he said to them, "Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith?" And they feared exceedingly and said to one another, "Who can this be that even the wind and the sea obey him?" Let us pray. Father God, I thank you for your word. You said that your words are spirit and life. And God, you said, Jesus said that we live by every word that proceeds from your mouth. So God, I pray that your living word would breathe life into us and give us hope in every place that we are fearful. And all God's people said, amen. Last night, we started this revival by me sharing some of my own personal story of the things in life and how we get all bent up. And then last night I shared with you about the weights and the burdens and the things that we carry along in life and how God wants us to lay them down. And at the end of the service last night, lots of you brought things and you laid them down at the altar. And today as I looked over those and read them, and Rick and I took time and we prayed over them, it just occurred to me that everybody has pretty much the same stuff going on. And one of the biggest things that will hinder us from moving away from what we laid down is fear. I finished a Bible study a few weeks ago with some ladies, and the topic was stress. And when we got done with that Bible study, we all agreed that the biggest cause of stress is fear. You see, fear will paralyze you. This is the thing. We think fear is normal, and so we give it place in our life. I mean, how many of you have just said, "Well, I can't help but worry"? Anybody? Can I tell you something? That is the exact opposite of what God, the Bible, says we are supposed to do. God says to not have any anxiety or fear. And what God wants us to do is to cross over from the places that we laid down last night and cross over into faith. Now, will you have storms on the way? Absolutely. Your faith will be tested. It will be shaken. But I'm going to tell you something. When Jesus told them to get in that boat, he knew there was going to be a storm. He always did what he saw and heard his Father doing. So he knew they were going to encounter a storm. Their test was, would they believe the word that he had said they would get to the other side? And the only way we'll make it to the other side is if we learn to hold on to the promises of God. Whoa, whoa, whoa. Changing hands. Hold on to God's unchanging hand. Build your hopes on things eternal and hold to God's unchanging hand. Time is filled with swift transition.
God's unchanging hand. Hold on to God's unchanging hand. Hold on to God's unchanging hand. Build your hopes on things eternal and hold to God's unchanging hand. Oh, trust in Him who will not leave you. Whatsoever years may bring, if thy earthly friends forsaken, oh, still more closely to Him cling. You've got to hold on to God's unchanging hand. Oh, hold on to God's unchanging hand. Build your hopes on things eternal and hold on to God's unchanging hand. This world's vain riches that so rapidly decay. Seek to gain the heavenly treasures, for they will never pass away. Whoa, hold on to God's unchanging hand. You've got to hold.
A good fear. There's the fear that you don't want to run out in front of the car. There's a fear not to touch the stove eye. That's a good fear. That's a healthy fear. But then there's also a spirit of fear. And 2 Timothy says, God doesn't give us a spirit of fear. He gives us love and power and a sound mind. You see, the enemy wants us to believe that fear is just a normal thing, and we let it trespass in our life all the time. And it's not supposed to be that way, because faith and fear are diametrically opposed. They won't operate together. And whichever one you feed is the one that will rule out every single time. When we went through 2008, and I shared some of that with you, and Rick shared some of that with you, when I got to the end of that year, I wanted to quit. I wanted to lay down. When I was in prayer one morning, the Lord spoke these words into my heart. He said, "Yet will I praise you." And I realized after I found the scripture, because it's in Habakkuk 3:17 and 19. It took me 3 days to find it. Yeah. Just wasn't one of those passages I looked up all the time. But basically what it said, what Habakkuk was saying was, if there's nothing good going on in my life, if there's not any crops growing, if I don't have any money coming in, if there's nothing good going on in my life, I'll praise you, God. And in the middle of that, a few days later, this song began to come up in my heart. You see, God wants us to learn to praise Him and have faith in Him, to believe his promises, to believe that if he tells us to go to the other side, to lay that down and go to the other side with him, that he will get us there. It may not look good. It may not feel good. It may not sound good at times. Say amen. But he will get you there. And part of the way you get there is to keep a song of praise in your mouth. Don't grumble and don't gripe. Because if you do that, guess where you get to stay? In the wilderness for 40 years like the Israelites did. Yuck. I don't want to stay in the wilderness. I want to get to the other side. And when we praise God in the middle of our circumstances, we get there a whole lot faster. Amen? Amen.
Over all the earth, sea and sky, let the name of our Lord be magnified. Of his faithfulness, sing unto the one who gives us life. Hallelujah,
hallelujah,
hallelujah. We give blessing and honor to your name. Hallelujah,
hallelujah,
you are great.
Ago, Rick shared some of this with y'all last night, that we've not had the greatest of financial situations. And so a couple of months ago, I was experiencing some fear like I have not experienced in about 15 years since I went through a divorce and found myself with three little boys and no education and didn't know where my next meal was going to come from. And I was like in fear then, and God got me through it, and da-da-da-da-da. But you know, it's amazing when you hit a wall of fear like that, you can't remember those times. Have you noticed that? It's like fear paralyzes you. The Bible says in 1 John 4:18 that fear hath torment. The word "hath" there means hold on to, grab hold of. You see, when fear comes in on your life, what it does is it literally grabs you and won't let go. It paralyzes you. It keeps you from being able to see anything or any way out of it. And so I had fallen into this trap of fear. I didn't understand it. I didn't know. It was like I couldn't even remember. And I'm an evangelist preaching on faith, y'all. And I couldn't remember anything. And then I was reading this book, and I don't even remember what book it was, but I ran across the phrase, fear not. How many times somebody said there's 365 fear nots in the Bible, one for every day of the year? I don't know if that's true or not. There's at least that many. But I saw it in a way like I hadn't seen it. You know, when it's like it pops up off the page to you, and you know it's for you. And so I began to study fear. And this is what I discovered. The word fear actually means to be in awe of and to be afraid. That's the reason all through the Old Testament it says to fear the Lord. Not that we're supposed to be afraid of Him. We're supposed to reverence God. In other words, He's supposed to be bigger, and we're supposed to worship Him, and we're supposed to be in awe of Him. And this is what I saw. I was making my problems and my circumstances, I was in awe of them. Get it? I was reverencing the problems. And so I began to do some scripture searches. And these were some of the places when I realized that when God says, fear not, I am with you. When He said to those disciples, why are you so fearful? Why are you so afraid? Don't you know I told you we're going to the other side? I told you I was going to get you through that problem. I promised you when you came into covenant with me that I would never leave you. I would never forsake you. But when fear gets a hold of your life, you can't see that. You don't know that. And so I want to read you some passages of Scripture, some things that God says we are not supposed to fear. Luke 12:7 says, we are commanded by Jesus not to fear our value to God. Jesus was speaking to His disciples and He said, are you not much more valuable than the birds? And God takes care of them. So God's going to take care of us. Say amen. Come on. You may not be dressed with everything you like. You may not have the iPods and all the stuff like you want, but you will have your needs taken care of. It may have to come from manna. You may have to eat the same thing. You may not like it every day, but you will have your needs taken care of. Come on, say amen. Amen. Come on. These are promises from God. And listen, we've got to come to a place where we believe God. Not just that we come and read it in our Bible, but we believe Him. Can I tell you something? We are coming to a time in the end times we're going to have to believe God. Come on. Luke 1:13, fear not that your prayers aren't heard. He was speaking to Mary, or one of them. I've heard your prayers. I don't remember. I'm not... He's got all that stuff. I don't have it. Acts 27:24. Fear not what you may encounter as you move where God has called you to go. Some of you, God may have you wanting to change jobs. He may be calling you to do something different. You don't have to fear doing those things. Slow down, He's telling me. Okay. Isaiah 43:1-5. Fear not God's ability to keep you and to be present with you in all circumstances. That's a good one. Isaiah 44:2. Fear not that God has chosen you. You know, we talk about it a little bit. I was talking with Nancy a little bit. She was telling me that one of y'all wrote a song, and she wants you to play it Mother's Day. And you probably don't think it's that good. It's the reason you won't play it. But play it. You see, God chooses you to do a specific job. God chose you from the foundation of the earth. And fear will lock you down and keep you from becoming who God created you to be. And oh, and if that doesn't happen, then the devil will come right along and say, well, who do you think you are? Listen, I battled that for years. I wouldn't even sing the first song that I wrote out in public because I didn't think it was that good. I didn't. But God chose me to do that. Who am I to not want to fulfill what God has chosen me to? I'm sure you've battled that at times. Am I in the right field? Am I doing the right thing? Should I do? I'm sure you've battled it at times with things that you do. Every day, see? It's a fear. It is a fear. Fear not. Isaiah 54:4. Fear not shame. I deal with this a lot in women's conferences. The things that we have been called and told. These things that have twisted us up. Some of us have been told we're not worth anything. We won't ever amount to anything. You'll never go anywhere with your life. You're just stupid. You can't do anything. And the shame of that holds on to us and keeps us in fear. Because we think, oh my gosh, if my parents were ashamed of me, if my friends are ashamed of me, if my husband's ashamed of me, if my wife's ashamed of me, then God must be ashamed of me too. But it's a lie. It's just a flat-out lie. You don't have to fear being ashamed because God doesn't see you that way. Jeremiah 46:27, fear not disappointment and correction. You know what? Sometimes we don't like to have, we shy away from coming to the altar or being convicted of things. But can I tell you something? It's a good thing when God shines a light on something in your life that needs to be corrected and gotten rid of. It is a good thing. We don't need to shy away from that. We don't need to try to bury that and hide it. That's one of the things that got me and Rick into a place where we were. We were like, well, you know, we don't want anybody to know we're going through this stuff. I could care less now. I could. Because you know what? If God can use it to help somebody else, then that's great. The Bible says that everything that is hidden will be brought to light. So you can go through the conviction of it in your privacy and let God deal with it. Or you can probably get it come out in public, and that's not fun at all. Deuteronomy 31:6, do not fear being forsaken. Ruth 3:11, fear not abandonment or rejection. Oh my gosh, that is such a big one that people battle with, being rejected. If you've gone through any kind of family problems in your life, being rejected by your parents or being rejected by a spouse or being rejected by friends, listen, kids are cruel to each other. They are so cruel in our schools these days. These kids are battling and dealing with rejection left and right, left and right. My daughter will be 17 years old next month. And I mean, they counsel each other. It's scary. And they don't know what they're doing. And one day they like each other, and the next day they're mad at each other. And the next day they like each other. And I mean, you talk about getting twisted. And then you have a parent or somebody that'll say, well, you know, you'll just never amount to anything. They'll turn right around and they'll say, well, I love you, honey. Just twist it all up. But God doesn't reject us. You know why? Because he formed us and he made us. Daniel 10:12, fear not delay. You know, that was the disciples' problem, wasn't it? They wanted to do speedboat through the storm, didn't they? Get me to the other side. You know the biggest problem with the disciples was that they had it in them to calm the storm. Say amen. When Jesus rebuked them, he said, why don't you have faith? Why didn't you stand up and speak peace to the storm? Why didn't you believe me? Was really what he was saying. You see, the promises of God are for whosoever will. Whosoever will believe. Whosoever will be daring enough to believe that if God can choose me and you, honey, he can choose any of them, can't he? That's right, because he chooses weak and foolish things to confound the wise. And I say all the time, honey, he hit the jackpot when he got me. He hit the jackpot. When you read scriptures that say things like, the Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not lack, you need to take that and appropriate it to your life. You need to believe that that scripture is for you. Those are promises from God. Psalm 91 says that he who abides under the shadow of the Almighty, no foe shall come against. If you abide in God and he abides in you, Jesus said you produce much fruit. The world is looking and longing for Christians who believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, our Son and only Lord, the one that we make all those proclamations and say every Sunday in church. They're looking for Christians that will believe it enough to actually live it out in their lives when they leave this building on Sunday night. Say amen. I'm going to tell you something. The government is not anointed to help people. The church is. The church is anointed. But as long as we shrivel up in fear and we don't know who we are and we're not willing to get to the other side, we can't help anybody else. And that's what the enemy banks on. The Lord is our shepherd. We don't lack anything. We are the body of Christ. We are anointed, we are empowered, and we are called and we are chosen to be the children of God. And that's who you are. That's who God wants you to be. That's who he's calling us to be. You laid all that stuff down last night. Don't allow fear to cause you to pick it back up. You can't fix it. You can't fix it. Only God can fix it. And the only way that can happen is if we believe and trust him to be our shepherd in every situation, in every day of our life. Amen.